I would.
Can you give me a glass of water?
Yes, you.
Thank you so much. Missed an opportunity, a blessing.
Hey, I don't mind if you call me John or him, James, all that stuff. You know what I mean? He's a good guy. He's all right. My mom could, she confused us a lot anyway, so. There was always a, I think my name was James growing up, so it's all right. I was at Memorial yesterday, and a brother there has hiked the Appalachian Trail over at Westwood. Well, he goes to Westville, Ken, and he was talking about hiking the Appalachian Trail. He did the 2,000 miles. I don't know if you guys knew this or have heard of it. Thank you so much. He went 2,000 miles. I think it starts in Georgia, right? All the way to some big mountain in Maine. But he talked about, again, you know, you're isolated. You are there on the trail, and there's people to talk to along the way, and some people help. But there is just, I mean, he spent numerous days just all by himself, and then sleeping in a tent all by himself. And so today, I'm not going to talk really with a, quote, Mother's Day message. So forgive me if that's not what I was led to do, but you got to kind of take that up with the Lord too, so, you know. But I feel like, if I can just put it out there, I feel like we are a people that is getting easier and easier to isolate ourselves. And I think it's unbiblical, and I think there's a lot of dangers with it. And so that's my heart cry to you today. I'm going to read the familiar story about Elijah. I'm not going to really use it as our text. I'm really going to use a proverb, but this story will kind of be in the back of our mind. So turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, please. First Kings chapter 19, remember all the amazing things that just happened in the story. Fire from heaven wiped out, you know, the whole sacrifice. Elijah just whooped up on some prophets of Baal. Then he ran ahead of Ahab, did a miracle. So he got to see God do a work and do a miracle on this sacrifice, and then he got to personally be a part of another miracle, himself physically running out, running a horse. And then Jezebel says there in verse 2 of 1 Kings 19, so Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. And if you continue to go, in verse 9, it says, there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for your willingness to do this walk with us. I pray that you would be pleased today with what is talked about. When it comes to us bringing you up. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would do a work, that it would that he would control me, that there'd be a work in the room, that our hearts would be open to what the Spirit would have to say to us. And so, Lord, we just want to line up with what you would want to do this morning. We thank you so much for your goodness and your grace, and we pray that you'd be honored and glorified. In your name, amen. So I talked a little bit about isolation. I talked about Elijah. Is it biblical to be alone a lot? Elijah put himself in a place where he was completely alone. Is that okay? Now, I want to do a lot of quote definitions because you'll remember in Mark 1:35, the Lord Jesus got up early to go be alone, to go spend time with his Father. Right? If you'll read about the context of that, he basically had to get up early because there were so many people pressing him for miracles and things like that. That was his only time to get away. Trust me, he was not alone for a long time. In fact, it says there in Mark 1:35, when he was trying to go be alone, they found him and basically was like, hey, people need to come see you. So that's some of that context there. Okay? So again, obviously, everyone needs to take heed of themselves. There's times where you are to be alone with your Savior, things of that. But I'm just talking about in general, are we okay with being alone? Now, as we give these definitions, again, you know that you can be in a room of 200 people and feel absolutely lonely. This has nothing to do with necessarily being physically alone from people. And a lot of what I'm going to talk about is basically where your heart is at. Is your heart isolated to where no one else is coming in? Or are you out there being a part of people's lives? Remember in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Not good to be alone. Why? Did Adam need companionship? Sure. Could you say the Lord Jesus was there for that? Sure. But this is God saying, it's not good to be alone. Just think of the normal task. Adam has to name the animals. Typical man might see a bird and say, I'm going to call that bird. And that thing swimming in the ocean, bird two. That thing crawling on the land, bird three. And then gently, Eve goes, well, maybe we should give them different names. Probably needs a little help, a little perspective. Okay? We know that with Mother's Day, right? Man needs a woman, needs her. But outside of that, I think we do need each other. And I will say this about moms in the room. And by the way, those, you know, this is so weird when I look at the camera, like those watching online. But I do feel like this might be something, again, women, that they can feel very isolated, especially in the child-raising phase or even the empty nest stage. They might feel very alone, and yet I don't know if they're willing to put themselves out there either and say, hey, guys, I'm kind of alone in this. Okay, so again, I'm putting it out there. I'm not sure if that's exactly how women feel, but those are some of my thoughts for this morning. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1, it says this. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. What does this verse mean to isolate? You might have a different word in your translation. It basically means to break off. It's not just kind of like a nice sever. It's a break off. So I told this story before. When it comes to candy, I love Kit Kats only because I feel like when you break one, you now got more candy. It's not true, but it feels good. So when you break the Kit Kat, I just went from one candy to four. And you could have a candy bar three times bigger than a Kit Kat, and I still feel like I won. Because I got four. This is a twisted way I think. Don't even get me started on sweet tarts. Why would we not do sweet tarts? That's like 50 in one. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But the idea here is, are we breaking off from people? Are we breaking off in this fellowship to where we now say, hey, we're all here, it's the same amount of candy, but we're all different. We each have our own individual thing. And I think that's very easy to do. Very easy to do in today's world. And so I think there's a warning here, and I would like to try to be gentle, but I'll say it like this. If you are the type of person who likes to separate yourself from everyone else, then you are someone who is seeking your own desires. Can I say that with confidence with this verse? Okay? A man who isolates himself seeks his own desires. Okay? So, again, this is in general. There's times where you have to be alone. I'm not saying that. But I do want to kind of bring home the point. If you like to separate yourself from everyone else, you are someone who's seeking your own desires. Three reasons why I think we should not be isolated as believers. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And I'm going to give you three reasons why I do not think it's good to isolate. So again, when I say isolate, it does not necessarily mean being physically alone. It does not mean sharing your heart with every single person that talks to you. But it also has the idea of that some point you are sharing your life with someone, and they are hopefully sharing their lives with you. In Ecclesiastes 4, in verse 9, it says this, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." The number one reason why, well, not the number one, it's just number one in my notes. That sounded different. The first reason why we should not isolate is there's no one to help you when you fall. Now again, the Lord Jesus is always faithful, but there's also something he has established called the church. And the Ecclesiastes would sit here and say, if one falls, woe to him who's alone when he falls. Woe to the person that's alone when they fall. Now, I don't know about you, but I need a lot of help in my Christian walk. And I think you do too. I think it's normal to fall. That's what I'm trying to say. And so if we have a Christian walk where it is inevitable to have points where we do fall, who's there? Who's there? There was a story of this little girl called Lori, who was about 3 one night when she requested her father's aid in helping to get undressed for the night. The dad was downstairs and she was upstairs. And she called down saying, "Dad, can you help me?" Dad said, "You know how to undress yourself." She said, "Yes, Dad, but sometimes people need people anyway, even if they do know how to do things by themselves." I think that's very true of us. When we say there's no one there to help, we do not necessarily mean we need someone to teach us something new or teach us about the situation. Sometimes we just need someone to be there when we fall and go, "Okay, I'm right here." Why do we want to isolate ourselves at time? Why is it so hard for some of us to ask for help? We'd rather stay down hurt and unable to get up because we don't want to deal with someone else in our lives. I'm not immune to this at all. I'm a kind of an outgoing person. I get that. And I think I've shared this before, even from here, is that I'm not the person that likes to ask for help, though. Usually my wife's very good at saying, "Why don't you just call so-and-so?" And sometimes, you know, the hardest call in the world for me to make is, "Hey, I need to install an electrical outlet. Can you just be here so I don't burn the house down? One of those kind of things. And the person helping me has helped me before and has said 4 to 5 times, it's not a big deal. I'll come over. Let's do this. And yet for me, it's hard to say, hey, I just need another pair of eyes watching me install the electrical outlet. And my wife is also saying it better be done soon. So that was a Mother's Day joke, kind of. The reason I'm kind of passionate about this right now, as we talk about this, I'm going to go deep. Is I don't know about you, but in my own life personally, since COVID, I've had at least 5 to 6 couples in my life who are getting divorced or thinking about it that has blown me out of the water. Just people that you would never in a million years think that was even, that word could even be brought up. And in talking with them, some of the simple conversations is, what do you guys do when you fight? How do you argue? Nothing. We just don't talk about it, and then life goes on. That's the answer I typically get. Nothing. We just don't talk about it, and then life goes on. I think there's so many things that are normal problems. We are sinners. To try to live a holy life, there's going to be some friction there. And yet, when is the last time any of us said, hey, how do you guys do this in your marriage? Because we have a problem here. Or all of our marriages just completely autonomous. And we have no right to just talk about the topic in general with people. We said some of these things before. Raising children. That's pretty tough to do. Moms being at home. Moms being at home saying, you know, some of the stay-at-home moms, how in the world do I, you know, is it okay for me to get bored at my house? Maybe I don't want to be here. Is anyone else feeling like that? Okay, well, sometimes the easiest thing to do is to talk to other moms and you go, oh, actually, most of us are bored. Now, again, I just probably offended all the women. I'm not saying you ever had a time where you're bored. I'm just talking like a guy. Okay? But the point is, if we fall down and we have isolated ourselves and put up walls, who's there to help us? When is the last time we have talked to someone about a sin? As far as I'm concerned, I don't want to judge, but I have a few I could tell you about if you wanted to talk to me. Okay? And I think it's weird that we rarely get to say, hey, how do you deal with this sin? Or how did you get victory in that? It seems to be rare. And again, it's this idea of isolation. Like, we are living in times where if I approach you and say, oh, do you struggle with that? I just went completely into your personal bubble space and it's suddenly raw. And I'm not saying I'm right by explaining like that, but I do feel like if we're going to follow the one another's biblically, that at some point we should be able to be approachable to have someone say, oh, do you struggle with that? And not have it be like, wow, that was the most deepest, intimate thing someone just said to me. There was a brother that I loved, and he spoke at Brantford this year, and you would probably know him. I'm going to try to keep the name out, but he was describing a story that I thought was awesome. His wife just had a baby. There was complications. He was basically home alone for like a week or two with 2 kids, like under the age of 4. He was in it and barely surviving. And people were bringing over meals from the church, and he loved it. And one woman came over and said, give me your laundry. And he said, you ain't gonna touch my laundry. And to his words, which I keep quoting, so he goes, you can bring food over to my house, you're not gonna do my laundry. And I thought, That is so typical of my life and maybe the lives that of people I fellowship with. There is a line that will allow you in. Make a meal, drop it off. Great, stay for 5 minutes. But you're not going to do my laundry. You're not going to go that deep with me. And I just want to challenge us, guys, that we're living in times where people need a lot of help. We need a lot of help. The second reason why we should not isolate ourselves is, who are we listening to if we're all alone? Elijah was suicidal. He was suicidal. And he put himself in a position where he couldn't even have help if he needed it, because there's no one around. He literally ran into the wilderness where there's no one around, and he's suicidal. I want you to think about that. Now again, God's grace, talking to him, meeting him there, all those things. But now, when Elijah is there, and he's all by himself, and he starts to question sometimes what actually happened in my life. Did I really see the fire come down? Maybe I didn't. Maybe I was wrong in killing the prophets. Wait a minute, and you, I don't know about you, but we can do this with our minds. We can live a victorious victory, and then suddenly, a couple weeks later, go, wait a minute, what really happened there? And we need other people. Elijah needs someone right now to go, whoa, 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 Elijah. God would not have sent down the fire and swept up the sacrifice unless it was his will. No, we're in his will. He gave you ability to slay the prophets. No, Elijah, he's on your side. Remember, you ran past the horse? No, 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 God's on your side. I understand it's crazy that Jezebel says she's going to kill you. I understand it's scary, but don't forget that God's on your side, Elijah. Remember what I saw with you. But he's in a position where no one can talk to him because he made himself out there alone. Let's read Proverbs 18 again. Verse 1, it says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. You are extremely vulnerable to deceptive thinking when you isolate yourself. He rages against all wise judgment. Again, do you get angry when someone's just trying to warn you of something? Is your first response anger? If a brother or sister comes up to you and tries to warn you of something, is your first response anger? I have to tell you a story. When I was in high school, there was a lady there who I thought I was madly in love with. It was not Kim. It's my high school girlfriend. And so I just wanted it. I didn't really want to hear advice on any of it. I kind of wanted to isolate myself and go, man, I want this to work no matter what. And yet deep down, I think I always knew this girl's probably not the one for me. But I liked her. At one point, I realized, I think we're in the middle of the breakup, you know, that typical high school breakup. And we're at the dinner table. I said something, and my dad said, hey, you better slow down. You're not going to marry this girl. I lost it. I completely flipped. Now, again, in my house, I've been bigger than my dad since I was probably in fourth grade, but there was a lot of respect there. Like, this is the first time ever, like, I would have ever even dreamed about raising my voice to my father. And I let him have it. I mean, no withholding on my part. And it is absolutely true. He rages against all wise judgment. All my father was saying was, hey, slow down. You're a senior in high school. Relax. I don't want, and I just completely yelled at my father. Now, I have to say, we got to be a people that are willing to hear the hard things. We got to be a people that are willing to hear the hard things. A fool delights not in understanding, but in uncovering his heart. Do we really want to understand the problem, or do we want to keep it on a surface issue? If you really don't want to understand what's going on, the Bible says you're foolish. If all you want to do is express what's in your heart, and you have absolutely no room to hear another point of view, the Bible says you're foolish. I would like to talk for a second at the fear of my children making fun of me. I left my phone in my car. See, this is great. I just want to put it out there. I think phones are really a problem. I have one. Yes, I use it. I look at it all the time too. But the phone allows us to constantly entertain our own wishes and desires and whatever makes us happy. So if you're reading something and you don't agree with that opinion, all you do is go to the next article. You don't got to sit in it. If you're sitting there on social media, you like something, boom, you push a button, you like it, you heart it, all that stuff. Okay, maybe more of whatever you like comes into your feed. So now you're in it. Something that you read, oh, that doesn't sound right, dislike. People get real bold in their comments because it's not face-to-face. Oh, I can't believe you like this person. How can you do blah, blah, blah. Very bold. Guys, I have people that literally I've heard say three words going to church with them for a year and will write paragraphs against someone online. That's where we're at. And so, I think it's easy to isolate yourself. And I want to give a warning on COVID because a lot of us, quote, had to. And it was such a long time. Are we in habits? Habits of, I'm just going to go be in my room on my phone, and that's where I live. That's where I live. There was an interesting article written. This was back in September, I believe, this year. I think it was New York Times. It says, as students return to school in the coming weeks, there will be close attention to their mental health. Many problems will be attributed to the COVID pandemic, but in fact, we need to look back further to 2012. That's when rates of teenage depression, loneliness, self-harm, and suicide began to rise sharply. By 2019, just before the pandemic, rates of depression among adolescents had nearly doubled. When we first started to see these trends in our work as psychologists studying Generation Z, we were puzzled. The U.S. economy was steadily improving over these years, so economic problems stemming from the 2008 Great Recession were not to blame. It was difficult to think of any other national event from the early 2010s that reverberated throughout the decade. We both came to suspect the same culprits, smartphones in general and social media in particular. In 2012, it was discovered it was the first year that a majority of Americans owned a smartphone. By 2015, two-thirds of teenagers did in America. This was also the period when social media use moved from optional to ubiquitous among adolescents. Again, it's never the it's our attitude towards it. It's not the phones that are, quote, the problem. It's that we suddenly have absolutely no restrictions or no thinking, hey, maybe I need to take a break or anything like that, it seems. It's just, boom, it's just there. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? And when you isolate yourself, because I'm telling you, this is not, I feel like, again, I don't know that time period, like 200, 300 years ago, you couldn't isolate yourself. You were on a farm somewhere, you broke an ankle, you're going to get some neighborly help. That's the end of the discussion. Nowadays, you go outside, break your ankle, you look up your phone, WebMD. Maybe I can make my own splint. I mean, I'm being a little facetious, okay? A little facetious. Okay? But it is so easy to just use this phone as our daily guide. Elijah was in a position where no one could just speak truth to him. Which, by the way, is it tends to be, again, that's why the assembling of ourselves is important. It's why we have to get together. And obviously I'm preaching to the choir because you're here this morning. But just to see the value of talking to each other and doing life together. Doing life together. Which leads me to my last point. When you isolate yourself, one of the dangers is you think it's all about you and that you're not affecting anyone. When in fact, you're affecting all of us. Who are you affecting? Guys, you know this better than anyone too, is that what happens, especially at church, affects everyone. And people go, oh, it was just me. It was just my thing. It's never just you. It's never just you. It's called body life. I now work with children who have disabilities, ages 18 to 21. My job is to basically put them in the community. It's a great job. And I will tell you, as much as I would like to have said I cared, I really could care less about handicap access before this job. But I care about it now. It's interesting to see in public what I can and cannot do based on handicap accessibility. One of the most interesting things that happened to me this year was I was on Main Street in Southington. The sidewalks are plowed, the streets are plowed, but there's actually snow around the curve that they didn't get to. So it's like a clean sidewalk, a strip of snow, and then a clean road. Well, guess where the on-ramp is? Snow. So my students cannot literally get from the street to the sidewalk because there's 6 inches of snow on the on-ramp, like on the ramp part of the sidewalk. Again, to the average person, no one cares. And I'm not trying to get like a pity card by any means. I'm just saying that you don't notice it because you're like, okay, but guess what? It affects people. It affects people. You keep thinking sometimes that you not sharing your life with others or getting involved in theirs is just all about you. You're wrong. It affects people. It affects people. In 1 Corinthians 12, might be that familiar passage. Talking about the body. Okay. Let's just let's start there in verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. Guys, I got to tell you, if we take this example, and in the church locally, if you're a foot, and you're isolating yourself from the fellowship, how's the chapel walking? If you're a hand, and you isolate yourself from the fellowship, how is the assembly doing any of the service with their hands? It's missing body parts. and you keep thinking, I'm not affecting that many people. Now, again, I don't want to come down hard. I'm preaching in the choir. You guys are here. I want to be clear upon that. I just want to bring to importance how much we're needed of each other. We are needed of each other. The work needs you. The work does not need one or two people. It needs everyone. Everyone. What was the solution for Elijah? Right after this, you know what happens? He's about to pass the torch on to another guy named Elisha. He isolates himself. He wants to die. Comes back. And he's got a guy that will not leave his side. It says there, I think it's in 2 Kings, it says, Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. I just want to encourage us, guys, and not to make us feel guilty at all. But I want to bring aware that there's a lot of people hurting, especially with COVID. And the trend seems to be, let's just keep to ourselves. The church needs the church to get involved with each other's lives and just love people. The world needs us to ask them sometimes hard questions, like, how is your life really going? Because people, we're losing the idea of even how to talk about it. If you want practical application of what to do, maybe you just reach out to one person. If you like to isolate, I'm sorry if they cling to you, like Elisha. But that might be you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Again, Lord, thank you that you came to earth, that you were always with people, so it seemed. And Lord, thank you that your desire is to be with us forever. That your desire is not that you just allowed us into heaven and you'll have a check-in with us here or there, but that we will have fellowship. We will be hanging out, doing eternal life together. Thank you so much for that. Lord, again, we pray that you would bless the moms who are listening to the message, who are here today, that you would let them feel validated, that you would let them feel loved by you, that you would help them to share their lives with others. In your name, amen.